Can everybody hear us? Oh God, this is my biggest nightmare, this bloody sound shit. Yes! Hey Leroy, can everybody?
Hey, are we on?
We're on. Oh, crap. So I can take the cans off. Oh, thank God. G'day, Dad. G'day, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Leroy, thanks for the hat.
Is that where that came from? I think mine came from the man from Snowy River.
No, mine came from Leroy.
Dad said we're doing hats tonight, so we're doing hats. G'day, everyone. It's Thursday's podcast, and we have our very special guest, Basil Vidali. Woo-hoo! I'm really stoked to have Dad on tonight for a few reasons. One, he can talk music with you guys because I've really struggled the last few weeks, but he's also got a lot to talk about in terms of touring, what the guys are going through, what he went through, blah, blah, blah. Ooh, hey, Cindy, Jeanette, hey, your guys, Eric, everyone.
People watching.
Yeah, look, all this. So, Dad.
Hey, hello.
You're going to be the star of the show tonight. What's with the sunnies? Is it to cover up how many champs you've had?
Well, I've got to say thank you, Bunny or Simone, for the
Bunny.
Wonderful
Dad still calls
buffet
me Bunny.
We had tonight, you know, with the family. It was great. And I had to wear the sunnies because little Jimmy kept spitting in my face, my great-grandson.
What?
Well, he did, so I'll take them off.
We need to see your eyes.
Thank you.
Can I
take the hat off as well?
No, it's a hat knot. I'm being Man from Snowy, your blues brother.
Oh, okay.
So it's great to be on air. Guys, tonight is our last show without Mike. And again, before we get into the nitty-gritty, just like to say thank you all so much for supporting me while he's been away. It's been... Oh, hey, he's here. Hang on. He's early. Hello?
Who's that?
Michael. Hello?
Hello?
Can everybody hear him? He's here.
What?
I was just making sure the gang can hear you.
Oh, hello, everyone.
Can everyone hear Mike? Michael, you have to say something. Yeah, Dad's here. Can we not FaceTime so the guys can see you?
You might be able to see me now, God.
Oh.
Jesus.
Where are you? Tell us where you are.
I'm in Switzerland, I'm in the mountains, and I'm in a dark room, and I'm having a nap.
You're having a nap? So why are you... Oh, did you ring before you fell into a deep sleep?
Exactly.
So tell us about... I know, yes, Eric, the phone is at max. Hang on, just let me try that. Tell the guys, I know that everyone is hanging to hear about the police escort story.
Oh, I'll make a video where I'm decent. I'm just rough as junk, right? It was quite funny. But have a good podcast. Say hello, everyone, and have a good podcast. And you're doing a great job, and I love you. And we'll see you next week.
Yes. Are you going to be back on the air next week with me? No rest?
I think I will be.
Woo! No rest for the wicked, Mucky Bus. Oh, thanks for calling in, darling. I'm sure the guys...
No worries. You're killing it, Sam. You're doing a great job, and hello, everybody. And we miss you, and we'll see you soon.
Yay, love you. Speak to you soon. Okay. See you next week, Lam Lam. Bye. Bye. Oh, that was cute. That was short and sweet, but at least he rang in. He sounded half asleep, poor love. But yes, I do know know the police escort story, but I think it's going to be funnier if Michael tells it, so I'm just going to let him. And to be fair, it's not a bad story.
It's a good story, yeah.
I'm not quite sure about the man from Snowy River here going on, Dad.
It's actually a good story.
But so anyway, before I talk about all things that I want to talk about, Dad and I have been having a chat tonight about, you know, what it was like in the 60s and 70s touring Australia and whatever, and what the boys would be going through. So I'm actually going to let Dad, I don't know if it's a good idea, but I'm going to let Dad actually chat away, and I'm going to type away and read that, and I'm letting Dad take the show. Are you up for it, Dad? Oh, you have to have your hat.
Thanks.
Because I didn't do my hair, so you have to.
I can't do it with the hat on.
You have to. Well, I want to wear your hat.
There you go.
Let's swap hats.
No.
Ow! All right, take it away, Basil. Tell us right from the beginning. When was your first tour?
Okay, I think to put it into perspective, we've got to talk about the tour that Michael and the boys are enduring now, because I've been across a few times. The last time I think was 2018. Yeah, we've got 2018. I went across and made the mistake of saying, look, I'll come along for part of the tour, which I think went for about 8 days. And just to put things into perspective, as I said, you get on the coach on Monday in Hamburg and drive for, I don't think the kilometres are a big problem. It was the time that it takes you to get somewhere, to get caught on the autobahn.
Yeah, whatever. That's what Steph was saying the other week. So like you get stuck.
Anyway, you might drive 500, 600, 700 kilometres. It might take 8 or 9 or 10 hours.
Is that all?
Yeah, well, you get there and you check in the hotel. They do the sound check and all that sort of shit. And then you have a rest for a couple of hours. I say they have a rest for a couple of hours, do the gig, finish the gig, pack down, get in. And this goes on for several days. And they might get one spot where they have a couple of days off in one place, which is a great relief. And even though they do the kilometres, at the end of every trip, there's a gig. As opposed to Western Australia. Now, the difference is this, that in Hamburg and in Germany and the surrounding countries, every night you do a gig. So you might be away for, say, 10, 12, 14 days. You might do 9, 10, 11 gigs.
Well, the guys are away, I think, 35 days and they're doing 31 gigs.
Yeah, well.
Unheard of.
Now, the difference is that in Western Australia, for instance, when you toured or wanted to tour, well, it was impossible because it's no different in my time in the 60s what it is now. You had Geraldton, Carnarvon, Exmouth, Karratha, Port Hedland, Broome. Broome was a different thing altogether. But the difference was that all of those country centres, they only wanted to band on Friday or Saturday night. So you go to Geraldton and do Friday or Saturday and Sunday. Then you have 5 days of downtime to go to the next. So at the end of the day, it was not financially viable to do a tour. So people just didn't do them. And the other problem was that there was no real full-time bands in WA. There still aren't. Michael's band and couple of others.
But not to get a gig every week like you said. So
in Western Australia, basically, if you wanted a tour, you'd have to take 5 or 6 weeks out of your life to maybe do 10 gigs up and back.
But was the money better? Like each gig was
it was never ever going to be viable. For instance, if you did, example, Geraldton on Friday and Saturday, you had 5 days to find accommodation, hang around, do something, till you went to Karratha.
They should have had Airbnb back then, Dad.
Sorry?
They should have had Airbnb.
Well, they didn't. But it didn't matter. It was not viable to do 2 gigs and have 5 days doing nothing. So it was never never a possibility. On the East Coast, it was a bit different. If you were based in Sydney, for instance, you could travel up to Ballina, right? Ballina's less than
that. Ballina.
Ballina is on the border of Queensland and New South Wales. In between that, there's Coffs Harbour, Byron Bay, whole heap of other tourist places. It was less than 800 kilometres, but you could do about 10 gigs on the way up in a week.
Yeah.
So in 2 weeks, you could do a dozen gigs, go up and down, but you only travelled 800 k's up and 800 k's in WA to get to Broome was 2,500 kilometres.
Yeah.
And you had to wait 5 days in between gigs. So it was never, ever a possibility as opposed to what they're doing in Germany. And the other thing with the boys they're touring in Germany, like what you can't factor into those tours is things that go wrong. For instance, the van breaks down, somebody gets sick, someone forgot to book the accommodation, amplifier shat itself, you can't find anything.
Guitar broke down.
And you cannot factor that in. And this actually happens. I know it does because I was part of it for a while.
Should we have a look?
At what?
Check this out, gang. While we're talking about this, I think it's a good time. Hang on. Watch this. Look at me. Oh, hang on. Here's a Billy. Oh, hang on. We're getting to Europe in a second. Wait a minute. Are we transitioning? Transition. Oh, go. So... okay, maybe I'm a bit early with the photos, but why is this not moving? So this was somewhere, and don't look at that side, this side.
That
hang on. All right, so tell me, who are these people, Dad?
Okay.
Oh, that might be, hang on, how do we go back? Leroy and I had this problem.
That was in Germany.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. This was when you were on tour, wasn't it? And this was when you were singing with the heavy hitters.
Yeah, in a village. It was an in-between gig for Verdelli. The heavy hitters were doing a gig. Crikey, there's a flashback.
Oh, I know. Hey, I've got to remember how to do the...
That was at the Oxford Hotel, actually.
It was. I remember that gig. And you and Mike were both playing harp. That was cute. But this one here, this one, we're going to go through because it's going quick and I can't remember how to do the stop. And hang on, how do I pause this? Let me pause that because I want you to tell me about this.
Yeah, okay.
I don't... Hang on, let me work the photos out.
Thanks for the hat, Leroy, by the way.
Keep talking, Dad, while I work out how to do the pause.
That was a heavy hitters gig that I haven't, that one. What are we looking at? Yeah, that one. Somewhere in Germany, I don't know where the hell we were then. That was my ex-wife.
No, but I was going to talk about that photo.
Well, I don't know where we're looking at. All right,
forget this for a minute. We'll go back to this. Keep talking. Go back to what you're talking about.
I like some of that other stuff, but anyway.
Okay.
I was going to tell you about Ray Hoff and the
Oxford. That's what I wanted to talk about, but anyway.
You can. But anyway, then the problem, getting back to the problem with touring in Europe, as I explained, at least you could, even though they travel long distances, which is often decided by the time rather than the distance, they had a gig every week. In WA, as I explained earlier, the problem was that you had Geraldton, Karratha.
So
they only want bands on the weekends.
So tell me about the off days. What did you do in those 5 days?
Because you didn't do the tour. You just couldn't afford to do it.
But when you did do it, was it?
I didn't do tours of the West Coast. Never got one because it was unviable for the reason I just said. All those centres I mentioned before, Geraldton, Carnarvon, Karratha, all those, they only wanted bands on Friday or Saturday night. So
did you go out for a week and then come back? Did you do that kind of thing?
Yeah, but that would take 6 weeks. and in 6 weeks you'd probably do it didn't happen. The bands couldn't do
okay,
it.
Okay, so the answer was no.
No, you didn't do it because, and the other problem was that most bands were not full-time anyway, so if they wanted to do something like that, they all had to take their holidays.
Yeah.
So that was another issue. And when I
think that's still an issue, to be fair.
Absolutely it is. And when I was involved with the Roebuck Hotel in Broome, where part of my job as a manager there was to organise entertainment, and then try to get bands.
Shame out. I was too young.
Yeah, you would have been anything then. But the, you had a wet t-shirt. You would have won.
Hey! Yeah, hey! Dad!
Why would I bring up that? But
I was talking about singing, Dad! Jesus!
No, a wet t-shirt was my bag. But you're trying to get, you couldn't get bands out of Perth.
So what happened? Okay, so we've just. Let's move on to the East Coast with Johnny Young and all of that.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about it. We want to know what it's like to be on tour in the 60s, Dad.
Okay.
Give it to us.
More.
Come on.
More in the Eastern States, right. Whilst if you were based in Sydney, for instance, you could work Coffs Harbour, Byron Bay, work all your way up to Ballina, which is border of Queensland, and back, and all the places in between. Was only less than 800 kilometres.
Yes.
And you could have been 10 or 12 gigs.
So tell
now, when
me
I was
about,
with Johnny Young.
Right.
Okay.
That's when, what I want to know. I don't care about distance. I want to know
when
what
I was
happened.
With, when I was with Johnny Young in the mid-60s-ish, whenever it was.
When you were 10.
Yeah. Eight. we would tour at times with John with in the
John,
central.
Name dropper.
Central Victoria. Horsham, Griffin, places like that. But because John had such a big profile, we could play at the local town hall on a Monday
so
afternoon.
So what band were you playing in when you
I was with Johnny Young then.
When but what was the band called? Johnny Young's band?
And The Word. I think it was called The Word. We couldn't be the Strangers anymore because there was a Melbourne Strangers, so John had to change the name of the band. So I think we're Johnny Young and The Word.
And what sort of music did you play? Were it covers
I mean,
or?
It was John's hits, Step Back, Caroline, that sort of thing. We only played 8 songs. We only did 40-minute spots. That's all we played.
And what was the money like? Was it worth
We got paid well.
Yeah.
We got paid well. And we drive down to these centres. Everything was found. We just walked on stage. We're like, well, we're rock stars then with John. Well, John was a rock star. We just happened to be the band. But we didn't have to do anything. We just turn up the gig, do the gig, 40-minute spot, move on, next town, blah, 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 blah.
So is everything sorted like clockwork and you just
we didn't
got
do
in the van?
And that's the thing with the boys touring over in Europe at the moment. What you can't factor into their tours, which is I joined, like I said earlier tonight, I jumped in for about 8 or 9 days and, you know, they travel,
sounds such hard work.
Oh, you'd leave Hamburg on Monday.
Do you ever leave?
Do the gig Monday night. And whether you travel 500 or 800 kilometres, it all had to do with the time factor on the autobahn and so on and so forth, every night. But what you could never factor in, and you can never factor in, somebody gets sick, car breaks down, someone didn't book the motel unit, the gigs come to rumble, all that
well,
shit.
Well, lucky none of that happened this tour, but there's
issues. It does, it happened. You can't factor it in when you start
you
the
don't
tour.
Know.
No, you
and
don't.
Interestingly enough, I'm citing here, when we were writing our grant application, I had to include, it was called like a COVID contingency plan, but basically what that meant was, what happens if it wasn't just about COVID, any of these things go wrong, especially with Vidali being Michael is actually irreplaceable. So, because he is Vidali. So what happens if Michael breaks his arm? Or
what
do you do?
All of that. But we were...
What do you
do? Nothing. It's what I'm saying.
Cancel the tour?
There's stuff when you're doing a tour like that you can't factor in. In Australia, it's tough enough anyway, but being in another country, it's triply hard. But getting back to Australia with the Johnny Young thing, for instance, which is is a good reference point for me when it comes to describing what it was like touring in Australia. I remember in, you know, I always have a giggle when footballers and they say, oh, they have to travel every other week because they've got to go to Melbourne to play football, and every 2 weeks. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell your audience, we were stationed in Melbourne with Johnny Young. Now, on one day, one single day, we had to travel from Melbourne to Adelaide in the morning to do some morning pop show in Adelaide. We had to fly back to Melbourne to do Commotion, which was anchored by, I think, Molly Meldrum at the time.
Was that like one of those dance shows?
Oh, yeah, whatever it was. We played one song.
Was that 70s
song? Well, we mimed it's a good beat you can dance to. Yeah. We'd mime something.
Mime.
And we went from Melbourne to Adelaide back to Melbourne to do Commotion, flew to Sydney to do the Trocadero, given we only did 40-minute spots, on Saturday evening. Caught a plate on Saturday evening and went to Brisbane to do a late night show at the Brisbane Town Hall. So we've gone Melbourne, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, all in one day. And these footballers are worried about going over every couple of weeks.
Okay, that's an interesting
point. Mind you, we're out of our mind by the time we got to Brisbane.
Well, so were the Eagles in the 90s. But what I was going to say, in comparison, you've been both a football player, a sportsman, a cricket player, whatever, a softball player, and a musician. Physically, what's a comparison? Because it isn't easy on the body being a full-time touring, gigging muso, is it?
Well,
I mean, I know it's not like playing a game of footy, but it's not easy,
I think there's...
Is it? Especially Michael.
Well, when I was...
Or Rick, you know.
Oh, look, it's like incredibly taxing. I mean, playing football, obviously you're younger, you know, so you take the knocks and the bruises, but... You know, where as you get a bit older, and I've, you know, somebody like Rick who playing drums is a physical thing.
So and physical.
All of it's physical.
All three of them are all, physical.
All of it's physical. And people say, you see people just sit up there strumming. Mate, it is tough work. And I, you know.
Do you remember what it's like? Because even playing keys is quite, very physical.
The playing factor wasn't. Itself was it, but you had to cut your keyboard in, you had to cut your amplifiers in, and you had to do this
masseuses and
it's okay for the Beatles or something, but no, I mean, these boys, I really
did they have a Shens massage on their way?
I remember us leaving somewhere with Michael one time, and we had flyback, this is in Germany. They did a gig somewhere, but Michael and I flew back and we finished up at an airport and they had one of those machines that you get the rub. And we must have spent about 20 bucks each just keeping going. We had about 2 hours to cook.
Oh, that's the only reason I go and get a pedicure, so I can sit in the chair for half an hour and get that.
I just want to tell your listeners out there or your viewers.
They're the gang.
That touring.
They're our friends.
Touring is tough. And it is relentless. It's great if you're the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or something and everything's laid on. All you got to do is walk on stage, plug in and play. But the likes of Michael's bands, which are high enough profile, but they haven't got that physical support whereby they've got 5 roadies and 10 road engineers and this, that and the other. A lot of the stuff they've got to do themselves.
Yeah.
And I experienced that when I was there a couple of years ago, whenever I was 18. And I'm thinking, gee whiz, this is hard work.
So, Daddy, tell us the fun stuff about touring, though. Surely it's not all bad.
There's a lot of fun stuff. Don't worry about that. I mean, the boys were discussing with me one time in Kirchdorf.
Keep in mind I'm your daughter, so there is certain things I don't need to hear.
No, nothing like that. But, you know, we're at this place... in Kirchdorf in Austria, I mean, apparently there's 100 Kirschdorfs, but we haven't been this particular one when the boys were playing. So we checked into the hotel and we've gone out of the bar to have a couple of beers. And I've met one of the locals. And the boys had to go and have a bit of a kit. They'd sit up again. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they've all disappeared. And me, I didn't do anything.
What do you mean you didn't have to do anything?
Well, I wasn't playing. I wasn't nothing. I was just along for the trip. And that's what I was saying.
Did you get up and have a cameo sing?
Well, I was supposed to on this particular night. But what happened was one of the locals said to me, hi, you're from Australia? I said, yes, I'm with the band. Oh, not the band. Have one of these. So he's giving me this schnapps.
Oh, and book. God.
So I was like, well, that's not my problem.
That is not me.
Anyway, I've had about 10 of these schnapps and about 5 of their local beers. So I decided to go up.
That wouldn't have even touched a size with you, Dad.
Oh, and let me tell you, that was serious schnapps. So I went to the gig that night, you know, and Mike had organised that I was going to get up and sing a couple of songs with the band.
Oh, God.
Well, I was up the
back. Oh, God.
I was complaining about the beer wasn't cold enough and all this
fluffy
shit. And, you know, I nearly passed out. The boys in the band stuck me in a taxi and set me home. I never did anything.
Why am I surprised?
It was a pretty funny night. But I just really like the schnapps and Kirschdorf.
Well, Michael actually said to me today, he had a couple of Long Island iced teas last night. He said, not like the Australian ones. He said, they're real ones. I said, oh, God, what does that mean? Like full shots?
There was a lot of fun stuff. I mean, you asked me about the touring downside. The downside is damn tough work. It's very taxing. It's very mind-boggling. It's you've got to make adjustments on the run to things that you don't know or don't expect to go to. On the other side, you go to so many great places. You go to places you'd never go to if you weren't involved with
me. I know how some of the stuff on Facebook Mike's been posting lately of some incredible places.
Oh, look, and the people there, the audiences there, as opposed to Australia. I think Michael's very lucky, or Videlli, the band is very lucky here in Australia where the audiences that they attract really go there to enjoy the band and the music. And it's one of the few acts, I think, that the audiences go to actually see the act. I think a lot of acts that are put on at the various venues around the place, Charles or whatever, people go there for the occasion. I think
I don't know about that, Tanner.
Videlli plays, I think people go there for the band.
Yeah.
And
that's
a different story, but in Germany in particular, or in Austria or wherever they go to play, the people actually go for the band, for the music. In Australia, in Western Australia or Australia, the audiences are a bit different. I'll give you a classic example of what I'm talking about. I don't mean to be
I love examples.
Well, I'll give you one.
Come on.
I don't mean to be disrespectful to the whites.
What?
Right?
Oh, okay, Dad. Okay. You're not really allowed to.
No, I'm not going to be disrespectful.
I love the whites.
Well, I don't.
I do.
But it doesn't matter. When I was working at the Rowie as an entertainment manager, I used to book the whites. The waves were.
I think my hat's going to have to go like
really
that for this.
I'm going to use this as an example of an occasion. Now, the waves were very smart business girls.
Right.
Vicky and
Donna. Love them.
And they would send out a mailing list, this, that, and the other. And then the Rowie Beer Garden would have 500 or 600 people. I can tell you, there's only about 150 that actually only interested in the waves. But the other 400 went because that's where everyone was going to be. Now, it's different in Germany. People go to the venue because they're going for that band, not because of the venue.
Okay, so I think...
I'm not being disrespectful of the whites. I'm just making a point.
I think that is a bigger conversation than we have time for tonight, in the sense that you could say that about a lot of venues and a lot of bands, respectively. But I get what you're saying, and I think a lot of Michael and the boys of Videlli have built up a massive fan base both in Australia and overseas. That
yeah, because they're quality musicians, and Lee rejoining the band has been a great asset. And Rick is arguably one of the best drummers in the world.
So, arguably.
And you know, and Michael's Michael.
What's up in your hat? Well, anyway.
Leroy, this hat.
I love the hat. But look, I know where you're going with that, Dad, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, that's why people watch his podcast, is because the band's mints, not because of me.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean.
And I've got my hardcore fan t-shirt on tonight, Dad.
Hang on, this girl here has carried this thing for about a month or so.
Oh, you know.
And actually, Michael, we don't need you back.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michael. I need you back. This has been really tough. Now, I've actually got a few things I want to talk about.
And I've got a quiz.
Oh God, I'm not doing...
I've got a quiz.
Hang on, wait. Guys... Sorry, I haven't sent you prizes. I've been flat out, but they're in the post tomorrow, I promise. Eric, I still need your address. Okay? So I'm three podcasts behind sending prizes. But I wasn't anticipating doing a quiz, so I haven't got...
I've got a quiz, one question. You've got a little prize? Stubby holder or something?
Yeah, I can find something.
All right.
God, this is unexpected. I've got lots to talk about. So, all right, go, Dad. Do your quiz.
Quiz. Here's my quiz.
Hi, Mezza. Hi.
I don't know what the prize is. I'm sure Samantha will come up with one.
They vary, Eric, from what I've heard.
So trip to Bali.
What? Am I winning it?
What would you want to go there?
Dad.
Now, here's a quiz. There's a question.
George, hold this. Hold that thought. I'll get an answer in a second.
From left field.
Oh, God. This is unscripted, unprepared.
Absolutely.
God, Dad, what?
A band called Booker T and the MGs.
Who?
Booker T and the MGs.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Who made that Green Onions instrumental. That one, famous. Right, Booker T and the MGs. Who was the guitar player?
As if anyone's going to bloody know that, Dad.
Yeah, and it wasn't Eric Clapton. It was a famous guitar player in the 60s and the 70s.
Michael sent me an email.
Booker T and the MGs. Who was the guitar player in Green Onions?
Why did that make you think of doing that quiz?
Well,
everyone's Googling that. I know. Oh, Cindy, Jimi Hendrix.
No.
Steve Cropper?
Yes.
Michael Videlli?
Yes.
Hey, Michael's not allowed to win.
You're not allowed to win the prize, Michael.
He's watching. Wow. Michael won. Is that cheating?
Well, that's cheating. Don't let Michael around the corner.
Mezza said Steve Cropper too. She gets the prize, whatever that is.
We don't know what the prize is. Fancy Michael ringing up.
I know. Email Mezza, you winner. Email me, admin@videlli.com.au, and I will send you something along with everyone else's.
Be a photo of me.
Oh, God. Now,
without the hat.
Gang, I want to talk about a couple of little things tonight. Number one is I'm very excited. I'm meeting with Erica from Frio Guitars on Saturday. So they are an amazing guitar shop in Fremantle that stock beautiful Wolf guitars from their venue, and there's going to be a lot more coming out about this, but Mike's actually going to be doing his guitar lessons from there. So as I said, there's a lot more coming out, but just giving all Mike's students a heads up, you're going to be learning in the most amazing venue. So it's in Fremantle, 1 Quarry Street, Frio. Erica and Peter are gorgeous people. We're very excited. Their shop is incredible. I know Michael has told you about it before. But after Saturday, I'll have a lot more info. Look out to all of my students and future students for emails coming out about when, how, whatever the lessons are now going to be. Also check out their guitars, freoguitars.com. Amazing. So check that out. A lot more to come, but I'm just planting a little seed there. Also, I want to talk about the George Thorogood gigs coming up.
Whoa, yeah.
Oh, Michael said, we need to use a pano mode to get a photo of Dad's head. Basil, and George goes, Basil is panoramic. So don't forget, guys, 12th and 13th of November at Fremantle Prison, Michael is supporting the one and only George Thorogood. I do know for a fact the Saturday is sold out, but I don't know what Sunday's doing. If you want to come try your luck on the Sunday, it's going to be an incredible gig. Very excited. I'm going to have a merch stand. I'm going to have special teas made up. Speaking of teas, I showed you guys last week, but I'll show you again now because I'm getting good at this. Bloody blah blah. I've made an Australian version of this one. They're at print as we speak, so don't forget to look out on the website. I said I was going to do it last week and I didn't. I've been so busy. But they're going to be for sale on our website and at gigs coming up. Let me go back to transition. Look at me transitioning. Other exciting news. They're not playing at Blues at Bridgetown this year. But like I've said before, I'd rather be at the Frio prison. I don't know, just saying. So it does coincide with that, which is, you know, is what it is. Lots of friends I know are going to Bridgetown on Saturday and George Thorogood Sunday or whatever, but that's up to you guys. I'm so proud and so excited for Videlli to be supporting George Thorogood because there were so many entries and so many opportunities for other bands and Videlli got picked and asked to support. So yay, and I'm there 100%, as is a million other people. So go the boys. Go you Mezzage. You'll be at Frio Prison, not Bridgetown. Not that we're bagging Bridgetown, we're just supporting our boys. Also, just released exciting news. New Year's Eve. Duke of George, Videlli. I know where I'm spending my New Year's Eve, which happens to be my wedding anniversary, Dad. Remember that day?
Oh, well, book the Duke of George.
Yeah, we're there. The boys are playing. The Duke of George.
What a coincidence.
Well, that's my wedding anniversary.
That's what I booked for you. Oh. I booked the band.
Oh, thanks. What a nice dad. What a nice prezi. So, guys, get your tickets because there's not many. So jump on to the Duke of George website and grab your tickets for New Year's Eve. It's going to be incredible. And there's so many gigs coming up in Perth for Videlli over the summer. I don't even know what they are anymore. I can't keep up. I'm mental at the moment. We're so busy and I'm so excited. There's so many wicked things coming up. I sound like that guy. I've said this before. Who was that guy that said, I'm just excited? What was that guy? Big Kev. Oh, that was Chris in the background. He goes, Big Kev, I'm so excited. But I am.
So excited.
I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. We go like it. Anyway, there's so many wicked things coming up. I just want my brother to come home. I miss him to death, and I know you guys do. And, you know, safe flights home, boys. They've got two more gigs coming up, one on Friday night, one on Saturday night. I didn't write it down. Do you know, Dad?
No.
Sorry, Mucky. No. But they are. They've got two more gigs, and then they're heading home, and then it's back. So guitar lessons are back. Australian Perth gigs are back. Everything's back. But wish the boys all the best for their last two gigs in Europe. I know it's been a tough tour in terms of travel, but a really successful one in terms of, the gigs and stuff have been mint. Very proud of you. Love you all. Can't wait to see you, Mucky, and give you a big cuddle. And I think that's about it for tonight. Dad, what do you reckon?
Oh, I think it's.
Do you want to end with a song?
No, no.
Why not? Oh,
a
yes,
and Bojangles and
hang on,
that's for you.
One sec, hold that thought. Yes, Lyric Lane on the 26th of November, Mez. You're right, you're onto it already. I've got to update the website unless Michael has, but yeah, there's so many gigs. Rockhoppers are playing at the Cottesloe Hotel, which is. We haven't been to Cots since I was 16 when jugs were $5 each.
No, it's still alive.
It's going to be under it. Look, next week, Michael and I will have a full list of actual venues, gigs, everything for all of the bands for Perth this summer. But until then.
Can I say yes, a finale?
Daddy, of course. You can say whatever you like.
People have been watching this show. I think a really big thank you to my beautiful daughter, Bunny,
Dad,
who has kept this thing going for the last 4 or 5 Dad. Weeks since Michael's been away. Shut up.
Hey.
Michael's been away, and she's kept it going with various guests, and I think a really big plus for you, and you've really nailed this. And thanks, I don't think you need Michael. I think it's yours.
I need Michael. Thanks, Dad, though. That means heaps. I love you. That means a lot. But I do need Michael. It's his show. It's his show. I just...
Nah, it's your show.
It's his show. I'm
He's a guest. That's it.
He's the muso. I don't know what I'm talking about. I just dribble shit and...
You'll tell you what you've done well. Someone doesn't know what they're talking about.
Right, what about Desperado?
What?
Desperado. Michael will kill us. We can't. What about...
Don't your feet get cold in the summertime?
Winter, Dad, it's winter.
Oh, winter.
Sun don't snow, but the sun won't shine.
It's hard to tell the night time from the day.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for the great show. Thanks, everyone, for chiming in and chatting. Again, can't wait for Michael to get home so that I can focus on that, but... I have been reading all of your stuff and thank you again for jumping in. Love you. See you same time, same place next week with Michael. Oh, can't wait. Thank you for my friends and family supporting me over the last 5 weeks or 4 because I missed one because I couldn't do it. And thanks, Dad, for tonight. Mwah. Love you. Just got a lippy kiss.
See you, guys.
Love you. See ya.